No, it was President Franklin D. Roosevelt who once said, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Some good wisdom right there. I love that quote. But you know, practically speaking, when we're at the end of our rope, the question is, what do I actually hang on to? You know, what is that knot in everyday life? And you know, as today we continue in our series, With Me in the Wilderness, we're going to meet someone who in a desperate moment reached the end of her rope, and what God did for her shows us what to hang on to when we find ourselves in a similar place. Now, before we jump into her story, let me kind of give you just a 45 to 60 second previously on. So this is kind of just a quick look back on where we were last week. So we started last week by establishing that when the Bible talks about the wilderness, it's not this. It's actually this. It's dry, harsh, desolate land. And just as people throughout Scripture found themselves there at times, so do we. But for us today, the terrain often looks a little different. It's a diagnosis, a waiting season, a loss. In other words, the wilderness is defined by any season that rips you from your sense of normalcy and drops you into unfamiliar terrain, leaving you unsure how to find your way. And last week we talked about how God uses the wilderness in our lives to test us and to teach us. And building on that today, we're going to discover what there is to hang on to when we feel like we're at the end of our rope in the wilderness. And to do that, we're going to look at a character named Hagar who found herself in the wilderness through no fault of her own. So if you have your Bible and want to follow along, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. Shouldn't be hard to find. It's the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 21. This is the story of Abraham, his wife Sarah, and Hagar. Now, if you're new to the Bible, let me just give you a little bit of context before we jump in here, okay? So God, several chapters earlier, God promised Abraham that not only would he have a son, but that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But when his wife Sarah didn't become pregnant soon after, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. And so Sarah gave her maidservant, a woman named Hagar, to her husband Abraham and said, "Here, sleep with Hagar, and maybe we can build a family through her." Now, pause for a moment. Just side note. Not everything we read in the Bible is prescriptive, meaning go and do that. Okay, sometimes what we read in the Bible is just descriptive. It's just simply telling you what happened. So long story short, Hagar becomes pregnant by Abraham and gives birth to a son named Ishmael. Now again, this was not God's original plan. This was really Abraham and Sarah's plan. And it becomes a whole thing. Sarah despises Hagar, mistreats her. Well, several years later, Abraham and Sarah have the son God has promised to them, Isaac. And on the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And this is where we pick up the story in Genesis 21 and verse 14. It says, "Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water." When it says skin of water, it's just talking about like an animal skin that they would keep water in, "and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulder and then sent her off with the boy." Now, when it says boy, understand at this point, Ishmael is somewhere around 15 to 16 years old. So this isn't a little boy, this is a teenager. "Sent her off with the boy, and she went on her way and wandered in the desert." And that word desert is the Hebrew word midbar. And that word can be translated to wilderness or desert. So she wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is kind of like the gateway to the Negev desert. In other words, it's the last stop before it really becomes uninhabitable. I want to show you a picture of this. This is just, if you just look on maps today in like Google, I'm want to show you this. So if you're looking at this, right up here is Beersheba. Okay? Once you go south of Beersheba down here, it's all brown. Why? Because it's desert. So this is really the last stop before there's a whole lot of nothing. It's kind of like if you've ever driven in South Florida and you go all the way south and you hit Naples on 75, I-75. I-75 turns east and goes towards Fort Lauderdale. And once you hit Naples and turn east, it's just Everglades till the other side of the state. There's a whole lot of nothing out there. They call it Alligator Alley, I think. 78 miles. I think there's one service station. So similar thing here. Think same thing. Once you go south of Beersheba, there's just a whole lot of desert. And this is where Hagar and her son are. And I want you to recognize, she was sent away with very little. Now, the text doesn't condemn Abraham for sending her away. In fact, he did it in obedience to what God had told him to do. But it does leave you wondering if a man with Abraham's resources, he was very wealthy, should have sent her out with more. Scholars tell us a water skin could hold somewhere around a couple of gallons. So just think about Ishmael and Hagar as going into the desert with basically a gallon jug of water each. Not gonna last very long, especially when heading into a brutal desert landscape. So understand, Hagar and her son are basically hitting the desert with a gas tank on E. And as you'd expect, I want you to look at what happens. It says, when the water in the skin was gone, and I'm guessing it didn't take long, she put the boy under one of the bushes, then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away. It's about 100 yards. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. So picture this. It's hot, it's dry, the sun is blazing, they're out of water, they're in the desert, and her son is so dehydrated, she knows the end is near. Her son is about to die. And as any parent, this mother, she cannot watch. So she lays Ishmael down under a bush, maybe a place with a little bit of shade there, and she walks away, and she breaks down. She is at the end of her rope. And you know, I believe the wilderness has a way of bringing us to this point. It often leads us to a place where we've used up every resource, tried every option, and feel as if we have nothing left to give. And it's in that place where breakdowns occur. And you know what? Some of us are there today. You know, maybe you're here and you've submitted resume after resume, application after application, and it's just been one closed door after another. Or maybe it's you've seen doctor after doctor, you've taken multiple treatments, and nothing has helped. In fact, things have actually gotten worse. Or maybe you've had multiple conversations with a family member or a friend or a child, and you're no closer to reconciliation. You're actually further apart. You're at the end of your rope. And maybe you found yourself saying something along the lines of, what am I supposed to hang on to in the midst of this? And if that's you, I get it. But let's keep reading. Because it goes on to say, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there." I want to draw your attention to two very important words. Words you should never forget. Right here. God heard. God heard. Maybe you're here today and you're wondering, does God hear me? Does he even care? Does he hear the cries of my heart? Scripture says God hears. He heard the cries of Ishmael and Hagar, which tells us he hears the cries of our heart. So what do we hang on to in the wilderness? Well, here's the first knot you hang on to. You just hang on to the fact that he hears. He hears. You know, we're all probably familiar with what a baby monitor is. I have a love-hate relationship with those things. And while I've been grateful for every season, and my wife's always had to remind me to enjoy the journey with our kids and enjoy the season that we're in, I can stand here telling you I'm grateful that we're not using a baby monitor anymore. I'm grateful for where we are. Now, obviously the technology has changed drastically over the years, but the point of a baby monitor is to see, hear, and care for our children even when they can't see or hear us. Because we love our children, our desire is to always be attuned to their cries and legitimate needs. But you understand, the baby on the other side of the monitor, they can't see their parents. They don't know we're watching. They don't know we heard their cry the moment it happened. And I just share that to say that when we're in the wilderness, often God feels distant and silent. And we can say, where are you? Do you see me? Do you hear me? But Hagar's story reminds us that God hears, even when it feels like he's silent. The monitor is always on because he never turns his heart off. And what's interesting is that this isn't the first time Hagar has been in the wilderness. A few chapters earlier, Genesis 16, after being mistreated by Sarah, she fled to the desert. And while there, she has an encounter with God. And afterwards, she gave God a name nobody had ever used before. It's the Hebrew name El Roi. Well, what does it mean? I want you to look at what it says in Genesis 16, 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. And here's what it means. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. See, it was in the wilderness, the desert, that she encountered God and learned, you see me. She might have felt invisible to everyone else. No one understands my pain. No one gets it. But it was in the wilderness that she encountered God. And she said, you're the God who sees me in my distress. You know, I told you last week that while it may seem like nothing grows in the wilderness because on the map it's brown, it can actually become fertile ground for a deeper trust and a life-changing encounter with God. And just as God saw her, I just want to remind you this morning, he sees you, he sees me. And now just a few chapters later, it says God heard. And it's in those moments when we're in the wilderness at the end of our rope and it looks like God's forgotten, he's not paying attention, he's turned the monitor off, that we must remember, I serve a God who sees. And just because he hasn't responded in the way that I hope doesn't mean he hasn't heard. Love what the Bible says in Psalm 56, chapter 8. The psalmist said, talking about God, you keep track of all of my sorrows. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. In other words, you've seen every tear that I've cried. And you've recorded each one in your book. Testimony of Scripture is that God sees and he hears. So when we're in the wilderness and feel like we're at the end of our rope, what do we hang on to? We hang on to the fact that he hears. Our prayers, our cries, they are heard on high, and he will never turn a deaf ear to the cries of those who are truly seeking him. The story continues. Let's keep reading verses 18 and 19. God says to Hagar, lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. So God not only heard, but now he acts and he opens her eyes to see the one thing she most needed in that moment, water. Showing us that when we're in the wilderness, we not only hang on to the fact that he hears, but here's the second knot we hang on to. We hang on to the fact that he helps. He hears and he helps. Now you might ask, but how does he help us in the wilderness? Well, he helps us by providing what we need when we need it. So what did Hagar need? Water. And what does God do? He opens her eyes to a well that had always been there. And I just want to encourage you, when you walk with God, there is always a well in the wilderness. There's always a well in the wilderness, a place where he is going to provide what is needed to sustain you. For Hagar, that well was water. For us, that well can be many things. It can be a stranger who says exactly what you need to hear. It could be a verse or passage of scripture that just jumps off the page, like the Holy Spirit just highlighted it directly for you and it breathes life into your heart. It could be a memory from a past season that God brings to mind, reminds you of his faithfulness. It could be, you know, an anonymous check that comes in the mail to cover the exact need that you have. There's always a well in the wilderness. And sometimes I think in the wilderness, we can be convinced that for God to do something, he has to just work like some incredible miracle and just create something new that wasn't there. And he can do that, but sometimes what God does is he simply opens our eyes to what's already around us. Because here, it doesn't seem like God created a well out of nothing. It just seems like there was already one there and she hadn't recognized it. And so sometimes our prayer in the wilderness might just be, God, open my eyes to see what you've already placed around me. There's always a well in the wilderness. In fact, I discovered that just this week. Now, in all transparency, this past year has been one of the most difficult and painful years of my life in recent memory. You know, yesterday I had a friend say, you know, he said, I listened to you last Sunday and I feel like you were preaching to yourself. I said, yeah, I'm often preaching to myself, but yeah, last Sunday I was preaching to myself for sure. It's been a wilderness season for me. And this past Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was doing my quiet time on our deck out in the backyard. And about the only thing I could pray was simply this. God, I need you to encourage my heart today. Like, I just need something. Please, God, encourage my heart. So not long after that, I came into church and sitting in my email inbox. It was an email that was sent on Tuesday that my assistant forwarded to me on Wednesday. And it was one of the kindest and encouraging emails from someone who knew nothing of what's going on in my life. And they shared how the previous Sunday, God had used it to deeply touch their heart. And then they closed by saying this, and it was such an encouragement to me. They just said, attending Northwoods has been life-changing and truly life-saving for me. And I just said, God, thank you. You knew I needed that today. Thank you. Then later in the day, I had a two-hour Zoom call with my brother Nathan. Now, I love Nathan, but I don't normally have two-hour Zoom calls with anybody. That doesn't sound like fun to me. So ever since he's left to go plant a church, we schedule times to occasionally just to try to catch up and to stay in contact. We both really value the relationship with one another. And you know, when Nathan, if you're new here, Nathan's my brother. He's one of our pastors here at Northwoods. And last year he felt the Lord, about a year and a half ago maybe, he felt the Lord calling him to go and plant a church. And certainly I was excited for him. I believe the Lord's hand is, I know the Lord's hand is on Nathan, and he's going to use Nathan in great ways wherever he is. And while I was excited for Nathan to follow what the Lord's put on his heart, it was also very hard. And I've shared that with you before, because you feel like you're losing. It was a loss. You know, you're losing not only a brother in Christ, but it's my physical brother that I've done ministry. It was kind of like side by side for many years together. So that was hard. And just in the midst of all that transpired as he was leaving, the truth is there was just some places where both of our hearts got a little bit dinged up in the process. And so this last Wednesday, you know, we were on this Zoom call. We'd only planned to talk for, I don't know, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, I don't know. And we just got to talking and eventually got into the place where we began to just share, you know, here's some of the places that my heart got dinged in the process. And, you know, here's some of the places that, yeah, my heart got a little bit hurt. And in the midst of our conversation, it was as if the Lord just reached down and touched both of our hearts and just completely healed wherever there had been hurt. And it just brought us both to a place of just crying tears of joy. And, you know, in typical Nathan fashion, and I got his permission to share this, you know, Nathan, as he's getting off the call, he said, do you know, Nathan, this is him. He just said, man, I could weep for the rest of the day. And I said, well, I'm not going to cry for the rest of the day. You can, but I'll cry for a little bit, but not the rest of the day. But I got off the phone, I got off the Zoom call with him, and I just broke down and just started crying, just tears of joy. Because not only did God touch our hearts, but it was like God said, John, do you remember this morning when you asked me to encourage your heart? I heard you. And you can trust me to provide what you need when you need it. And I share that to say, not look at John, but look at God. Isn't he so good? Like when we feel like we're at the end, at just the right moment, he steps in and gives a reminder. He says, I'm here, I see you, and you can trust me to provide what's needed. This is what our God does, and somebody better give him praise. He's good. So here's my question to you this morning. What do you need? What do you need? Again, God can answer God can give you what you need without you asking. But I believe sometimes God is waiting for you to voice your need, because the more specific the prayer request, the more direct the answer. And when that happens, if you've ever had that happen, you know as well as I do, it's like it just causes faith to come alive and rise in our life. So don't be afraid to voice your need, because there is a well in the wilderness. So what do we hang on to? We hang on to that, the fact that he hears, he helps. And then finally, let me give you one more not to hang on to. You just hang on to the fact that he's here. Meaning his presence is with me. Because look what the text goes on to say. It says, God was with, key word, with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Now, there's a lot going on here that I'm not going to be able to get into today. But I just want you to take note. It says God was with the boy as he grew up. He didn't just provide a well and say, here's a drink of water. Now, I hope you're good. Figure it out. No, he not only provided a well in one moment, but he gave him his presence in the desert, was with him, even in the desert. He was not abandoned. He was not alone. Ishmael could say, he's here with me. And you know what? Maybe today you feel like God is absent. He's abandoned you. He's left you. You feel alone. And let me just say, that's a real feeling. I want to validate that. That's a very real feeling that many of us experience in the wilderness. But the reality is, feelings can lie. Because the truth is, his presence is always with us. No matter what you're walking through, you can always say with confidence, he's here. He's here with me. You know, it's like those times if you've ever flown on an airplane, and maybe when you were taking off, it's rainy, it's dreary, it's full on cloud cover, can't see the sun. And then that plane takes off, and you begin to break above those clouds. And when you get above the clouds, the sun is blinding. And you begin to realize in those moments that even though you couldn't see the sun, it was actually there all along. And it's the same with God. Even if it feels like he's forgotten, the truth is he is there. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will, as he promises in his word, work all things together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. This is the God we serve. If you're in a wilderness season and feels like you are at the end of your rope and you're wondering, what do I hang on to? Hang on to the fact that God hears you, he's going to help you, and he's here with you. In fact, he is here today in our midst as we gather. And so if you're in that place this morning, you'd say, man, I'm in a wilderness season. I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. You're speaking directly to me today. In a moment, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to call you to come forward to the altar of this church. And you can come forward, you can stand, you can kneel, whatever it might be. I felt the Lord lay this on my heart yesterday, and so I'm just going to go with it. And I'm asking you to do this because I've just found that many times when we take one step, like there's a tangible step that is taken, God meets us in that place. And I believe the Lord is going to minister to your heart this morning through his church. I'm gonna pray for you, but also I'm gonna ask our church to come around and pray for you. Now I get it, anytime someone stands on a stage and says, hey, I wanna call you to come forward, I get there's all kinds of thoughts in your head. And they're probably something like, well, you know, I wanna do that, but what will everybody else think? Look at all these people. What are they gonna think about me? They're gonna think something's wrong with me. I got problems in my life. I got issues. Listen, we all got issues. A pastor friend used to say, and if you don't think you have one, well, that's your issue right there. We all got issues. But if you're in that place, I promise you, people aren't thinking, wow, look at that person. I wonder what's wrong with them. What's actually happening in people's minds is they're saying, man, praise God. He's working in people's hearts today. And I'm thankful that I get to just be here and be a part of what he's doing. So what I want you to do right now is I just want everyone across the room, everyone across the room, go ahead and stand. And in a moment, I'm gonna count to three, and then I'm gonna ask you just to slip out of your aisle and just to come forward. And again, you can kneel, you can stand, whatever's most comfortable for you. But if you find yourself in the wilderness, and for whatever reason, you feel like today you're at the end of your rope, and you just desperately need a touch from God, on the count of three, I want you to come forward. So one, God loves you. Two, there is no shame. Three, you just come forward. Just come forward right now, wherever you might be. You come forward. Doesn't matter if there's one, two, I don't care however many it is. I believe the Lord's gonna move in this moment. There's no shame. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this moment. You just come forward. If you're in the balcony, come forward. The altar is open. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is your church family. We love you. God sees you. He hears you. He's your helper. Loves you. So church, what I want to ask you to do at this moment is if you're still in your seat, I want to ask you if you feel comfortable just to come forward and find someone and just lay a hand on them. You just come forward. If you're part of the prayer team, or you just feel led to come and pray for someone, you just come forward and you just lay a hand on somebody. And you lay your hand on somebody. You don't have to wait for me. You just begin to pray whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You can pray out loud, you can pray quietly, you can pray in your heart, whatever it might be, you just begin to pray. And just ask the Lord that he would minister through you to the heart of the person in front of you. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and have your way. I pray in this moment that you, by your presence, Lord, would comfort, would encourage, would speak life. Would speak life, Lord. You would just touch their heart, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear the cries of your people. Would you reach down, Lord, and touch each and every person today? Lord reminded me of a scripture. It says in the book of Hosea, I will lead her into the wilderness, and I will speak tenderly to her. Lord, I pray right now for every person represented here who is in a wilderness season. I pray it would be your tender voice that would speak exactly what is needed in this moment. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that even in the pain, that joy would rise up, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And oh, how the enemy tries to steal our joy, because if he can take our joy, he can take our strength. So Lord, we just say no to the enemy. I pray you would fill your people with a supernatural joy in this moment, that you would touch their hearts in a way that they would know it is only from you, Lord. And that you see them, that you hear them, that you're helping them, that you're with them, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you that you're gonna take this moment, and even when we don't recognize it, you are going to take it and work it for good, because you are a good and faithful God, and you always take what feels like it's been wasted, or the hurt and the pain, and you bring beauty from the ashes, Lord. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this moment. I pray healing, I pray life, I pray joy, I pray peace over your people. And I pray that your people would walk out feeling lighter today because they've been touched by you, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're powerful. You love us. And it's in the mighty and matchless and all-powerful name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Come on, give him praise, guys. He's good. He's good. Thank you, Lord. Church, I love you so much. You feel free to linger, whatever you might need in this moment. Our prayer team will be down here. If you need more time in prayer, you just come on down. We'd love to, you just stay here. We'd love to pray with you. Have a great Sunday. Thank you, Lord. God is good. And we'll look forward to seeing you back next week. Again, if you need anything, you just stay down front. We'd love to pray with you.